Divyam evam yoveti tattva takta deham punar janma naiti mamati surjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance does not take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode. So, if we want to worship Krishna, if we want to understand Krishna, then we ourselves have to be free from material contamination. And this is described as, it says here, Prabhupada is saying, he makes further progress after liberation to engage in the service of Radha and Krishna. So one has to develop these qualities in order to sufficiently or properly worship the Lord. Otherwise, we're still in the practicing phase. It's like a preparatory period. So we shouldn't think that we are doing such nice seva or doing such nice worship or service until we're actually on the transcendental platform, because that's real service that in one sense, in the higher sense, to Krishna, and we're untinged by hankering and lamentation. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na sochati na kangshati samasarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. That's when the bhakti begins, one's free from hankering and lamentation. So first coming to the spiritual platform, that means one is always aware that they are not the body, that we have nothing to do with this material realm. Even as devotees, we get put into the bodily concept of life if we're not trained, if we're not studying shastra. So this is a form of ignorance. Even, yes, we're devotees, we've taken to the highest process, we have the highest formula, but we may still be deeply rooted in the mode of ignorance, the modes of passion to ignorance in the bodily conception. When we go through our day identifying ourselves and others with the body, that means that all of our consciousness, our energy, is being depleted. It's being sapped by being absorbed in temporary, illusory reality. We're still deeply absorbed in the illusion of Maya. So, by the intensity of our devotional service, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, then that transcendental awakening happens. Successively, to successive degrees, wherein by engaging very intensely whatever our service is, by really giving it as much as we can, then Krishna lifts us out of that conception and we realize we can act, but not being so invested in that bodily concept of life. It's a type of liberation. Therefore, it's described as a type of freedom, or being freed from that mode of ignorance. But until we really decide or make that endeavor, then we remain, that tinge of ego is very strong in our consciousness. So the idea by serving Guru and Srila Prabhupada's mission, that we get that enough mercy and shakti, that we can transcend that platform of material consciousness. And then from that spiritual position, Krishna says, then real bhakti begins, because we can't really offer Krishna our heart if our heart is invested with so many material investments. Everyone is making investments, so we make either investment in Krishna or we make in some material aspect of the material energy, trying to enjoy something, trying to get some result, some fruitive gain, thinking that will bring us happiness, or just being caught up in all of the trivial, insignificant things that come up in our attempt to utilize the human form of life. We get distracted, the age of distractions of distractions. So Krishna consciousness means to simplify our life, to remove all of the unnecessary distractions. We only have one real business, as we're hearing here, the human form of life, to give our heart and soul to Krishna. We don't need anything else. To think that we need something, or this is not enough for me, this is an incomplete process, is a lack of knowledge, it's a lack of realization. Just this one temple can fully satisfy every living entity. The whole city of Chicago can be fully satisfied by coming to this one temple. And that's actually why we're here. So we're trying to help spread that awareness, but we have to realize it ourselves also, that what more do we need? Krishna is standing right there. Radha and Krishna are here. We need mercy so we can realize that. We need mercy so we can act with that understanding. So these qualities, they are imperative. And Prabhupada is reminding us that this is what's required to actually worship Krishna, to become the fire. Spirit, only the spirit can worship spirit. So peacefulness comes when we feel our connection with Krishna. Then we're not hankering, we're not needing so many other things. We feel satisfied in our devotional service. So we receive the instruction of the spiritual master, and we take that very seriously. That is our life and soul. And also we use our intelligence how to best execute that, how to best perform our sadhana and our chanting and our service in such a way that we feel that connection with Krishna. And self-control. Self-control is very difficult. Tamas. This is required to even engage in bhakti. We have to learn to control the senses. This is one of Rupa Goswami's first instructions. Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam. Before I can take to real bhakti, I have to learn how to control my senses. Otherwise, again, I'll be swept away. I have a service at this time, but if I'm not even able to control my senses, then I blow it. I'm late, or so many things. I don't get to sleep on time. This is a very big one. In the daytime, Maya gets us. Maya tries to tell us, encourage us to sleep. It's time for our service. In the nighttime, she tells us to stay awake. There's so many other types of service you can do. No, the nighttime we have to do the sleeping service. That in and of itself is a cause of a lot of devotees, I venture to say, success or failure in the ashram. Or maybe in their, to different degrees in their spiritual life, being able to go to sleep early. It takes a lot of self-control. It's a struggle. It's a battle. But Krishna's and Maya are testing us. Are you self-controlled? Can you resist the temptations that will come up for some juicy dialogue? What's been going on with so-and-so? And, oh, wow, so-and-so just came back. To heck with the regulation. This is an important, exception. And then it turns out every night is an exception to our regulation. So that is self-control. That will push us into gear so that we can try to come to that transcendental platform. Tapa, austerity. We can engage in bhakti if we are overly gratifying the senses, right? The human form of body means the senses. And in the animal species, Prabhupada explains that the animals, they have generally one sense which is prominent. The elephant, the sense of touch. They catch the elephant by having a she-elephant rub against it, and he becomes bewildered, wow, and he chases after her. So his sense of touch. And then there's the fish, the tongue. The fish is caught simply because he can't control his tongue. He sees something, he doesn't see the hook, he just goes for the food, and he's caught like that. So the examples are given in the animal kingdom, but Prabhupada says in the human form of life, the Shastra says, actually all the senses are very uncontrollable. We're being dragged by sense, sight, smell, touch, everything. Very powerful in human life. So tapasya means, in order to reduce the influence of those sensuous urges, I voluntarily reduce the intake of sense gratification. Then we become powerful. Prabhupada says, by tapasya one becomes powerful by the grace of the Lord. So I have to do some voluntarily controlling the senses. You know, for brahmacharis also the eating. In the Kishori temple, we are having a big feast every day. No doubt, Vishwakarma Prabhu and the team, it's a buffet. It's a 10 or 20 course buffet every day. But brahmachari is not meant to eat like that. That is generally for the public, to attract them. But those who are seriously taking up the sadhana, they begin to, okay, I have to be selective. I have to keep it simple. Better I simplify my senses so I can use that energy for devotional service. You know, how do I want to enjoy? Do I want to enjoy materially? Because the prasad is spiritual, but generally my approach to it or my enjoyment of it may not be so spiritual. So where am I going to get my rasa? It's going to be in that big glubjaman. That's good. But it can also be from a deeper degree of intensity and desperation in our service, in our chanting. And that will purify us. This is the Shreyas and Preyas, the short-term and the long-term benefit. So different aspects of the austerity are there to help us. And eating is a big one. The tongue is the most uncontrollable sense. That's what we're supposed to chant every day before we honor prasad. Very difficult. And Prabhupada always mentions it goes in a straight line. The tongue is voracious. Many, many successes and failures again from being able to control our tongue. And also in how we're speaking. That is also tapasya. That's also austerity. Just speaking whatever is required. We don't need to invest so much energy in the material energy. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, material education simply makes one an ass or a fool because he becomes more invested in asat, in illusion. So our general approach as devotees to the material energy is very cautious and more on the removed side. There's so many things to learn about. Even just learning about one thing, like even health. You could spend lifetimes just learning about Ayurveda. But we just need to do what's required. Better we take our time in this lifetime to study Bhagavatam, right? We have so much Shastra. Even one lifetime is not enough. So that is encouraged. Then socham, cleanliness or purity. That is primarily achieved in this age through the chanting of the holy name. Oma pavitra pavitrava. By chanting, by being connected with Krishna, automatically we're pure. That is the highest or higher form of purity. One can be socham, clean externally, but how to cleanse the heart? And that's really who we are, was the soul. So if the heart is dirty, only the holy name actually in this age has the power to cleanse the soul and purify the soul. And that helps us to awaken humility, because we can't chant the holy name unless there's a sense that I'm not great. I'm not so great that my mind or I think I am. So Chaito Dharpana Marjam, to cleanse, we require that all-powerful and merciful holy name. There's nothing sweeter, the sweetest of the sweet, the name of Krishna, who is not different from himself. That is the best means for achieving all of the brahminical qualities and achieving the highest success of the holy name. And so we want to move in the direction to be able to take shelter at every moment, Kirtaniya Sadahari, of the holy name. Honesty, I was wanting to spend some time on that one also. It's one that in Kali Yuga, it is quite amazing actually when we hear about the great kings and Rajarshis and their honesty. We hear about Dasarath Maharaj, who on the vow of his honesty had to banish Ram to the forest. It's inconceivable. I can't even fathom it, because I'm coming from such a untruthful background and time period. But he was they're so strict to that principle of Dharma that at any cost, you have to take my son. Also we see in Nityananda's pastimes, Hadai Pandit, he had to give away Nityananda. But that was the principle of Dharma. So it's difficult for us to wrap our mind around it, but that's how important that quality is. That Krishna, it's said that Mother Earth can tolerate any kind of sinful activity she can tolerate, except that of a sinful liar, that she can't bear the burden. She can bear the burden of so many other things. So that type of honesty Prabhupada is trying to impart to us. And, you know, I can speak heavily on the subject because I'm full of that fault. I'm trying to get free of it, but the contamination, it runs deep. But why is it so important? Because if we want to approach the absolute truth, we have to be truthful. Our whole process is to get out of illusion. So when we speak lies or falsehood, when we give opportunity for that negative quality, which is ultimately a personality. We hear about that, that irreligion, falsehood, these are actually person. When we give shelter to them in our heart, then it destroys our ability to approach the light, the sat. Asato ma sadgama. Give up untruth, go to truth. So that means it has different connotations we can see. From a literal point, I want to approach the truth, I have to be truthful. And also we see this material world is built on the principle of asat, or untruthfulness. It's based on illusion of the ego. So in order to approach the absolute truth, we have to be truthful. And that is helping us cleanse the heart. Allow the holy name to blossom. And that also includes simplicity. I think Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj has said, simplicity is Vaishnavism. To not be deceitful or crooked, posing us ourselves as something that we're not. That's also very subtle. But Krishna sees that. Although we may not even see it, Krishna sees it. And we can't actually approach him. It's like it's like coming up to Krishna, you know, just an example. Let's say pretending I'm a sannyasi and I'm going before Krishna and I'm, you know, I pretend that I'm like, I've taken, you know, I'm trying to do my sannyas. It's a total sham. And Krishna sees that, but I may or may not be aware of it. And so I'm offering all these prayers, but what's the first thing Krishna sees? He's going, look, you're acting, it's just duplicitous behavior. I can't really hear your prayers because you're living a lie or a joke or a sham. So therefore that quality of being very pure in heart, that is required. These are generally prerequisites, as we're saying, to bhakti. And then we have jnana vijnana astakyam. Jnana, knowledge, but vijnana also. Just knowledge is not enough. Knowledge without the purity simply leads to pride. We can see that this, maybe in our own life or in general, it's a principle that we have so much knowledge, but what happens when you have so much knowledge, you have any quality, you become proud. Maybe you're very strong, or even good looking, or so many things. It's simply, more or less in the material sense, becomes the cause of pride. Janmaishvarya shruta shribir edamada madapunan naivartamadidatum vaitvama kinchita gochanam. That you can only be approached by those that are free from that false possession. So much knowledge is required. In the beginning, we require spiritual knowledge, but not that it makes us proud, or not that we become proud of our... That is evidence that we haven't understood the knowledge. It's evidence that we don't have actually what that knowledge is trying to give us. So the realization and the religiousness, that means engaging in those qualities. So Prabhupada wanted to raise everyone in his society to that brahminical platform, to engage in the activities of bhakti. We can worship the deity, we can perform sacrifice, chant the holy name, and teach and study, receive the knowledge and teach it to others. That we see that Prabhupada's ISKCON is built around the revival of Brahminical culture. That without that, the world, there's no hope for the world. And often he would describe that means cow protection. Brahminical culture means duties of the Brahmin and protecting the cow, because we can't have a peaceful society without giving protection to the cow. So these are a few thoughts on this interesting series of verses, and I hope it may have been useful for someone. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Subhal Prabhu.
Thinking that you mentioned during your class about the revival, the necessity of Brahminical culture, and we have heard, you know, both in the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam, that the qualities to come to the human platform of life, there's a series of qualities that are given. And in the Bhagavad Gita, there's 20 something, in the Bhagavatam, sometimes it's 30, you know, like that. They're all Brahminical qualities when you analyze them. They describe, the qualities of a Brahmana. Mm-hmm. Now, how does it work exactly when you have to come to the platform of human life, which is basically a dharmic platform, because, and in one sense, it's a Brahminical platform. Mm-hmm. You have to have certain understanding of transcendental knowledge, of transcendence, so that, you know, you're not the body, there's something beyond the body, there is a personality of Godhead, these are the duties that you have to perform, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. So how does it work when you have the overarching Brahminical culture and the Brahminical qualities that everybody have to develop when, you know, a sudra, how a sudra have to, you know, to be in a human platform, in a dharmic platform,
yeah,
or a vaishya or a kshatriya.
From what I understand, that list that's coming in the seventh canto, Narada's describing, these are the qualities to become a human being. And they are, as you're saying, Brahminical qualities. They're revolving around ultimately worshiping the Lord, but being truthful, honest, peaceful, giving up pride, false ego. Those are what's required in the human form of life. But from what I understand, the application of those qualities will be different, because even according to Bhagavad Gita, Shudra, he is a very actually edified person. He's very loyal, he's very accountable and hardworking. The Kshatriya also very heroic, but the way that they will manifest according to one's swabhava, their nature, their conditioned nature, will be different. So to come to the human form, it basically means to come to the human form platform, one has to be a religious person, a righteous person. He has to live by qualities of dharma. But the Brahminical, amongst that, the Brahminical qualities or activities, because ultimately a Brahmana, we find that a Brahmana is one of the varnas. So it means his type of work that he does is based on, this is his nature. His quality of work will be teaching, studying, like that. Another one's quality of work may be more administration or militant. Another quality of work. So that is the propensity. That's how he can maintain those qualities in a different varna. In other words, one can be hearing the shastra, one can be truthful as a kshatriya, or he can be exemplifying those qualities even as a shudra. That's my understanding of that passage, of those qualities. But the idea is actually an evolution, that just because one has been born in a certain circumstance, but Prabhupada said we can elevate people to Brahmins, to first class Brahmins, and that's actually what he did. So therefore the qualities of the Brahmin are given more the qualities are mentioned, the qualities, not so much just your physical activity, but you develop these qualities and you can become a Brahmana. Anyone who's a devotee is automatically a Brahmin. So we're not so much actually concerned with the Brahmin as an ash, as a varna, but more in the transcendental qualities which are required for bhakti. Through bhakti, no matter what you are, you're already higher than a Brahmana. So therefore we have so many devotees in our movement or in our culture where they may not be Brahmin initiated, but they may be doing tremendous service. They may be super advanced. Jayananda Prabhu was changing the oil in the cars. That type of work we don't see in Bhagavad Gita as the duties of a Brahmin. But he was respected as the most advanced Vaishnav in this society. Therefore he's greater than a Brahmin. Is that okay? That's all I can do. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Anything else? Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Kishore Kishore ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premam.